Help us keep the shows flowing to your ears. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com, click on the Support Our Work tab, and show us a little bit of love. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. This is Jeff Johnson coming to you. I told you she was going to do that thing, Tiffany.
I've been waiting. I've been tolerating it the whole time.
In studio, we've got Kristen.
Hi.
We've got Josie.
Hi.
We've got Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
We've got Tasha.
Aloha.
And Engineer Tiffany.
I wonder if Jeff did that on purpose. Waiting to introduce Tiffany.
Every episode, Engineer Tiffany is eating, pregnant Engineer Tiffany is eating something different. Now it's disgusting Kix.
I know, Kix are so nasty.
But they're
it's third breakfast.
So we're back with part three of our Defining Play series. This will wrap up the first point Peter Gray makes in the blog post we're starting the series with. And we're talking about that one of the definitions of play is that you're free to quit.
Free. And if you're just joining us, the first one is that play is self-directed, play is self-chosen, and players are free to quit.
And so I think free to quit is something. A lot of programs out there that are calling themselves play-based really limit the ability of children to quit things when they're done with them. How often do we get to see kids opt out of things like circle time?
If you would even call that play in the first place.
Well, yeah. I think if you're going to be able to opt out of block play, you should be able to opt out of the fuck. Circle time. So free to quit, what's that mean?
Well, it means if I'm done playing that I'm done. And I'm having a hard time. Hold on. Let me say this the right way. I'm not having a hard time that we've had three episodes talking about three things. I'm having a hard time seeing how freedom to quit almost has to be linked with the free to have chosen and free to have, directed my play. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, help me explain what's in my head. Like,
huh? If you can choose what you want to do and choose when
how
you
to do it,
you should be able to choose when you quit.
Right. Because already what my brain is thinking that if I didn't really have choice in the first place and I didn't really get to decide how that play was going to pan out, it's probably a given that I wouldn't be allowed to decide that I'm done.
Yeah, so in too many places, this doesn't ever become an option because they didn't have the first two parts of it.
Exactly. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Or the timer didn't go off, so you can't be done in this area to move to the next.
Which would imply that I didn't even have a choice to be there to execute my own play.
Which causes problems in the child right there.
I'm finding that I would like to start the conversation with playing with free to quit, assuming that the other two things were already in motion.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I've been able to choose where I'm doing. I've been able to figure out what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and then I get to decide if I'm done, mm-hmm. or get to decide if I want it to be done, but then I might change my mind and stick around, mm-hmm. and what might have led to that.
So change your mind and take three steps towards something else and then come back.
And then come back to it.
Yep. Yeah.
Or depending on the play that was actually playing out, maybe I was leaving because somebody changed one of the rules of the game. But then when they saw that I was going to leave the play, somebody made that midstream adjustment in order to keep the play going.
Oh, my gosh. And what kind of life skills are you learning when that happens? I mean, in real life, that's how relationships work a lot of the time, is that give and take of what's going on in the moment. And that's really much more learning involved in that than rotating being done when the timer goes off.
Because maybe I wasn't done.
Yeah.
Or maybe I didn't want to do it in the first place.
And so this implies that you get to play until you're done.
Correct.
And that implies that you've got big-ass amounts of time for play so that you can actually play until you're done.
Or even decide to be done for a little bit and come back to it without somebody have making sure that I put everything back in the box before I made a choice to go someplace else.
So does free to quit also mean free not to quit?
Sure. Or free to quit light? I just need a break from it for a minute.
Well, I'm just wondering about one thing I hear people struggle with is that kid who never wants to leave the Lego bin, mm-hmm. or never wants to leave the easel, or never wants to try mm-hmm, mm-hmm. whatever it is, and we build up a lot of energy, a lot of tension over these kind of things. Is it okay that kid stays in the Lego area?
In my world, it is.
Lisa Murphy. Can kids learn all they need? I mean, a given child, age 3, enters an early learning program and plays in the block area until the last day of their day in the program when they're 5 and head off to kindergarten.
They've learned
nothing.
Can they really
be school ready?
They are. They would be.
Oh, definitely.
Well, there's some parameters there, but... some variables.
Yeah, so I think
a lot of times the reason why kids lock and load and stay in one area all the time is because they've been either told like that I'm never going to get to do this again, so I'm going to hold on and stay painting because I don't know when it's going to be my turn to ever paint again, or to use more of the block or the manipulatives example, I'm never allowed to let things migrate, you know, so I stay here, but what if I was allowed to let things move around, you know? And the go-to example in the workshop is with Mackenzie. A lot of times the reason why your kid Mackenzie will stay in the dress-up area all day long is because you won't let her take the shoes outside. Whereas if you literally just let her wear the shoes all day, she would go visit or check out some of the other areas of the classroom that everybody's worried that she's not getting exposure to.
So actually... allowing kids the freedom to decide when they stop something will make them, could help them try more things and be more flexible, those rigid kids.
That's what we found, at least with the Mackenzie example.
Yeah.
The minute the teacher relaxed on the shoes have to stay in the dress-up center, and the minute Mackenzie knew she could just wear the shoes all day, all of a sudden she's over in the writing area, and all of a sudden she's over in this area, and all of a sudden she's all over the room just because she wanted to wear the stupid shoes.
Yeah, so allowing, I mean, and again, it's power and control. It's, I mean, we'd be quoting Dan and every one of these episodes so far. When kids have that power and control over stopping their activity, it gives them more, they feel that power and control, and so they can carry that with them out into the universe.
And the control-y kids, i.e. Mackenzie, she starts to learn that if she's too rigid in whatever the rules are that have kind of popped up in the play. I'm not saying your classroom rooms. I'm saying the rules of this dramatic play out. If she's too rigid and controlling, the other kids playing with her are going to leave. And so she learns often how to temper
how to do
her bossiness.
Dance. Yeah.
Because she wants the game to continue.
And as we get further into the definition of play, one of the definitions is that play has rules. The players create the rules of the play. And we'll get to that in episode 43 of the Defining Play series or something like that.
Some of that self-regulation that we're talking about and the being able to put my needs on pause for a minute to keep the play going.
Yeah.
All of this happens when the kids get to be the boss of whether or not they're done or not.
Yeah, yeah. So, Kristen, Josie, Tiffany, what's your experience with the free to quit in your real life programs?
I think we always talk about the free to quit as if they are not given enough time. We also need to think about the free to quit early. Mm-hmm. I'm pissed. I'm frustrated. I don't want to do this. I'm leaving. That, to me, is where, at least in our program, that has that like scaffolding yeah. that has been.
Or it may need, not even have any of those negatives. I mean, I refer to him as the hummingbird kid. There's just every once in a while there's that kid that needs to taste this and taste that and taste that
yeah.
and try a lot of different stuff until eventually they find the thing they want to settle down in. And so allowing that hummingbird to go from flower to flower to flower in your program until they find the one that's got the right nectar for them is a part of this too. The freedom to sample,
mm-hmm,
I guess, is kind yeah. of a subcategory mm-hmm. of this. Absolutely.
And I think we need to remember that just because a child has chosen to quit an activity doesn't mean they're still not paying attention. I think about reading books or singing songs. Sometimes a kid will get up and walk away, and all of a sudden you'll notice they're over at the block center still singing along or still commenting on the story. Some kids just don't want to just sit there. I mean, some kids love to sit and look at books all day, and some kids want to get up and move around. Doesn't mean they're not listening.
Right. And not even that they quit. They just mm-hmm. moved where their body was. Mm-hmm. So I'm still participating.
Earlier, Lisa, when we were out there, you talked about how it's harder for children to quit when an adult is playing with them. So when is it okay for an adult to join in play? Do we wait specifically until we're asked?
Yeah, that, you want to share the thing?
The thing that Peter Gray mentioned was that when it comes to the quit, when the adult is in the play with the child, because I will quote him, because adults are commonly viewed as authority figures, children often feel less able to quit or to disagree with the proposed rules when the adult is leading rather than when the child is leading. And so when adults try to lead children's play, the result often is something that for many children isn't play at all. I think playing with kids is that could be a podcast
yeah.
in and of its own self. If I was invited, but then following their lead
yes.
100%, which, you know, can be tricky.
Right.
But even back when I didn't really know better, I was kind of avoidant of that. I was more work in the room
yeah.
as opposed to playing with the children. That
right.
was never kind of my thing. But if they called me over, it's not like I would say, no, I don't, Miss Lisa doesn't play with children. You know,
right.
I didn't say that, but I would go in, but then I was quickly looking for an exit.
Mm-hmm.
Not, that
yeah.
sounded wrong. That didn't come out right. I was looking to not be,
you're looking to wean them.
I was looking to wean them off thinking that they needed me there.
Yeah.
And that
in the play that felt like you could exit respectfully.
Yeah. And was even often hesitant to being a role within the drama.
Yeah.
Was more of a supporting role to the drama or a peripheral role?
You are a prop.
A prop. but yeah, I think that's tricky for a lot of educators.
I feel like that should be a thumb pod.
I think it could be. And yes, it could be its own pod.
Okay.
Should we write
Let's
it on the
that.
Board?
Let's write it. Okay. I'll do it.
So in here, I don't think this is what you read before. The ultimate, this is in Peter Gray's blog post, and it's what's the title of it? The Value of Play Part, Play One, The Definition of Play Gives Insights. And when he's talking about the freedom to quit, the ultimate freedom in play is the freedom to quit. A person who feels coerced or pressured to engage in an activity and unable to quit is not a player, but a victim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was in that clarifying point.
So we have a lot of kids that are victims of circle time. We've got a lot of kids that are victims of the daily calendar time. We've got a lot of kids that are victim of story time or music time, if that's not what they're into. And so maybe if we're not ready to give them free reign over their activities and things all the time, maybe we can start letting up. Maybe the entry point for some people is not to make everybody stay in circle time, mm-hmm. crisscross applesauce.
That's a good idea. That's a good suggestion.
And because if, I mean, we've all, everybody that says they're play based, then is trying to reevaluate this. It might be too hard to let them start building block towers as high as they want on Monday morning, but maybe you can let that kid that you fight with all through circle time
decide he or she is done.
Stay where they need
but
to be.
But what if everyone gets
I was just going to say that, Josie. I'm so glad you did. But then that's going to be, that would be in your face, like, indicator that perhaps your expectation.
Yeah. It's like a circle time boycott.
Yeah. I have kind of a funny example of this that just happened last week. So I was reading a story. Okay. Jeff's being funny. Kind of. I was reading a story to them and the book ended and several kids said, I want to hear it again. But I said, you can get up and do something else if you don't want to hear it again. It's not a big deal. But they all sat there. And I thought, okay, maybe they all really want to listen to it again. But then one child got up and walked across the room and one little girl got so upset. He's leaving! He's leaving! And I said, well, I said, it's okay. You don't have to listen to the story again. And then all of a sudden, eight of them got up and I was just reading it. But it was just, that's so ingrained in them already at three that if the teacher's reading a book, you better sit down and listen to that book.
Well, yeah, how ingrained that in how ingrained is it in us as adults? How many conference presentations have you been at, where we're going to do an activity, we're going to do a song.
Nope.
And
don't do it.
And yeah. Yeah,
to quit also in walking out of a workshop session.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But how many people that get up and do the song no. really don't want to, but get up because the person next to them is and they don't feel powerful enough not to.
But then they'll turn around and see that my ass is sitting down, and then that's like they give you the eyes that are like you don't. Have
Lisa,
to do this.
Lisa fucking Murphy isn't doing this.
Well, that's one of the reasons I sit in the back when I go to conferences because I know the session I want to join in, but it's like I'm not going to stand up and sing the song or do the activity or whatever. I'm here to learn. This is the way I learn. I'm feeling comfortable.
And total topic shift here. Yeah. The disconnect between the fact that we know adults don't sit and learn and receive new information in those passive manners, but yet when we're expected to get up and move around, everybody's like, I'm not fucking doing that. You know? So what, and that's actually not that anybody cares, but I've been struggling with that as a presenter lately, knowing full well that the model that I often use in workshops isn't what's supported. But am not going to have people do in a session stuff that I hate having done to me mm-hmm. in a session. So yeah. I'm trying to figure out what's that. What are some other variations and options? You know. Anyway, but that's nobody cares about that.
From Peter in that blog post that I gave the name of a little bit ago, so I'm not going to do it again now. Research studies have shown that adults who have a great deal of freedom as to how and when to do their work often experience that work as play, even, in fact, especially when the work is difficult. In contrast, people who must do just what others tell them to do at work rarely experience their work as play. Mm-hmm. And so this we're talking early learning, but this has consequences in the adult world. When kids grow up with the opportunity to have this kind of power, then they bring that into their workplace. Some of the work research that he's talking about, I'm sure is referenced in the work of Daniel Pink, in his book Drive, which is about the adult work world. And in that book, Daniel talks about the four T's. We're going to come up in our definition of play later, but, Daniel talks about in the work environment, adults should have power, over time, team, task, and technique. What they do, who they do it with, when they do it, and how they do it.
That sounds a lot like, play being self-directed, self-chosen, and free to quit.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this is a big topic. In three episodes, over an hour of podcast, we've made it through one of the first five, points we were going to dig into on the
this
topic.
This time so next year we'll still be this, finished. This we'll just be wrapping up.
This is
going to
be a big thing. And so it is time to wrap this one up. We got any final
I do,
thoughts?
I do. And we can continue this. But one of the things I appreciate is that fun, the word fun, is not included. I think often, especially as early childhood people in an early childhood classroom, we think that everything always has to be fun, And I think it's possible to be engaged in play, but if somebody walked by and looking in the room might not appear as though people are having fun, but there's a lot of play going on. Does this make sense to you?
I got an example for you. One of my sessions is about the value of rough and tumble play and superhero play and weapons play and all that kind of stuff. And what I hear from people when, you know, the rough and tumble play, how do you know when to stop it? And the reality is, if you've created the environment, it'll stop when they need it to stop. But what I hear is, well, it looks so violent, or it looks like they're really hurting themselves. But if those kids are still choosing to engage, then they're still getting some value in it. When somebody's done, then they'll be done. And
if in fact it was self-directed, exactly, self-chosen, and they know they can quit, rough and tumble play would not be an issue.
Yeah.
The way that many educators make it.
Yeah. Because it can look very gruesome. It can look very, very violent because, sometimes they will literally be kicking the crap, maybe figuratively kicking the crap out of each other. But,
maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah. There's such value in that kind of stuff when we can step back and let them be the boss of it. And the freedom to quit that stuff is exactly right. Being able to decide, I don't want you to shoot at me is one of the powers that you should have when you're allowing weapons play. It's play when everybody that's engaged chooses to be there. Mm-hmm. When somebody's getting shot at, with a Lego gun and they're not choosing that, then it's something different than play. And I think that's all stuff we're going to dig into.
But if I'm
deeper,
not wanting to be shot at, and then I say I'm done playing and I leave,
then we need to be able to respect that. Mm-hmm. And so that's stuff we'll get into as we broaden and deepen the definition that we're talking about here. What do you got, baby?
I'm leaning in. Mm-hmm. Well, not just with the weapons play. I think it has to go over to the fairy princesses and stuff with their fairy wands. Just because I turned you into a frog doesn't mean I should expect you to be a frog if you're opting out of it. It's not just with the rough and tumble,
sure,
too.
Sure.
Anything else for the good of the cause, Miss Tiffany?
How would you scaffold teaching someone how to quit? We talked about it a little bit with the self-directed and self-chosen, mm-hmm, that they're the kids that come in on the first day and need so much help. How do you scaffold that transition?
Sometimes broadcasting, which is a new word. Well, I've heard the word, but you've used it, and so it's right in the forefront of my brain. If you're not enjoying the game, you are, you know, you can step out if you're done. If you don't like this anymore, you can, depending on what I know about that kid's personality, might be more of a getting up close and like, if you're done, you can tell the kids that you're
done.
Let's
role play it. You're Lisa, you're like the Lisa Murphy, Lisa Murphy, not like the mean Lisa Murphy.
I get to be my own self.
Yeah, you get to be your own
not
self.
Not the dirty,
you
nasty.
You get to be your own self. I'm...
Ruff. Your alter ego, is
Ruff.
That it?
Ruff. Hey, Miss Lisa.
Yes?
They made me be the dog. Ruff. And
over there where everybody's playing, said you're the dog.
Yeah, I pretended to run away.
Uh-huh.
And I'd really like to be done and go play in the blocks, but roof.
But they're making you be the dog.
I think they expect me to be the dog, and I'd really like to roof, move on.
Is there maybe another animal you would like to be, or are you done with this game altogether?
I'm done with the game altogether and want to go play in the blocks. Roof, roof, roof.
Okay, so let's go over and we'll tell them that the dog that you're. Do you want to tell them like you're a dog, or do you want to tell them like you're Jeff?
Dog Jeff.
Dog Jeff. Okay, so we'll walk back over together, and I will.
Do you see
say,
how good I heal? I am. I mean, I'm pretty good at being the dog, but I'm done.
Miss Lisa has something to say about Dog Jeff. Dog Jeff, do you want to tell them, or do you need some assistance?
Ray, everybody, I'm Ron Rian the Rog.
It sounds like Dog Jeff said that he is done being the dog. Do you have another idea of what you'd like to do, Dog Jeff?
I'd like to go play in the blocks.
Hey, everybody. I heard Dog Jeff say he wants to go play in the blocks. Say bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Done. Scene.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I was really worried about that. Yeah, I mean, And they're probably not going to come and say, hey, no. If you're
paying attention.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you're not over here making pancakes and directing the restaurant play over here in the dress up center, right? If you actually are working the room, you're going to see this because you're hyper observing constantly.
And so our job becomes paying attention to the body language and knowing when a child may need us to step in with a little bit of assistance for those kind of things. Anything else? We good?
Yeah, we're good.
Hey, this has been another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We enjoy you listening. We enjoy you sharing. We enjoy you supporting. Tune in soon for another episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Rowan, say bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.